We are studying through the Bible. We come this week to Daniel, the fourth chapter. An interesting story. It was written by Nebuchadnezzar, probably the only chapter in the Old Testament that was written by one who was not a Jew. It is sort of the personal testimony of Nebuchadnezzar. He addresses it to everybody, all of the people and nations and languages that dwell upon the earth. In this chapter, which we will study tonight, he tells us his own personal experience of learning an important lesson the hard way. Now, there are certain things that we must know and abide by if we are to live a happy life, if we're to live a fruitful life, a prosperous life. And as we read in the psalm, happy is the man who delights in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And then we read he's going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither. There'll be that freshness always. And whatsoever he does will prosper. God is determined that we should understand certain truths that he has set forth in his word. These basic truths will lead you into the good life that God desires that you should live. Now, basically in life, there are things that build you up and things that tear you down. And God has set forth the good things and has warned us against those things that destroy. And one way or the other, because God loves you, he will see that you do walk the good path. But there's an easy way to learn and a hard way to learn. And my advice to you is that you learn the easy way. The story before us is the classic story of a man who learned the hard way. Pride is a very destructive thing. The Bible tells us that pride goeth before destruction. It's the path to destruction. The Bible tells us that he that exalteth himself shall be abased. The Bible tells us that one of the things that God hates is a proud look. And throughout the Bible, we are told how God is displeased when a man exalts himself and becomes lifted up with pride. Paul the Apostle asked, "What do you have but what you have received? And if you have received it, then why do you boast of it as though you didn't receive it?" We speak about people who are gifted people. They are gifted musicians. They are gifted speakers. They are gifted leaders. And it is true. There are those people who have been gifted by God in certain areas. And all of you have been gifted by God in some area or another. That area where you excel. that excelling in an area comes not from your ability, it comes from God's enabling. God has given you the ability. God has gifted you in that area. And that is why Paul said that, what do you have but what you have received? And if you have received it, then why do you boast about it as though you didn't receive it? There are gifted athletes. There are so many different areas in which people are gifted. But the mistake often is to think that it is my ability, it is as the result of my keen training or my commitment to this cause or whatever, and thus begin to take glory and credit for that which God has actually accomplished or wrought through the gifts that he has given unto us. It's wrong to boast or to brag about your gifts or to use them for your own glory or enrichment. Pride goes before destruction. Now, Nebuchadnezzar was an extremely gifted man. He had many gifts. Secular history tells us of the genius of Nebuchadnezzar, especially as a general. He took the Babylonian army and he led that Babylonian army into the conquering of the world. They defeated the armies of the other great nations. That Assyrian army that was thought to be invincible, he destroyed it. He then went down and met the Egyptians and destroyed them. He was brilliant in his strategy, battle strategies. He was gifted. And having then conquered the world, he turned and he began to exercise a tremendous gift of administration. A visionary. He built that marvelous city of Babylon with its tall walls, 87 feet thick. The impregnable fortress of Babylon with the beautiful palaces within and the hanging gardens to please his wife, which became and was known as one of the wonders of the ancient world, unexcelled in its beauty. Gifted man. But he began to be lifted up with pride. He began to feel that his accomplishments were his own genius, the result of his own brilliance, his skills, his abilities. And he felt that by his power, he had brought all of these things to pass. Now, God warned him of the danger of this pride. Warned him against taking the glory for himself, the glory that really belonged to God. And this warning of God came in the form of a dream. Now, God had spoken to him through dreams before. When he was wondering about the future of his kingdom, the Lord had given to him a dream by which he showed to him the future of his kingdom and of the world. That dream of the great image with the head of gold and chest of silver and stomach of brass, legs of iron. And the Lord said, "You are the head of gold, but your kingdom is going to fall to the Medo-Persians." The shoulders and chest of silver. And that kingdom will fall to the Greeks. And that kingdom will fall to the Roman Empire. He then sought to change things. He built a gigantic image of a man, some 90 feet tall, set it up in the plains of Dura so that it could be seen for miles. But he made the image all of gold. In a sense, he was saying, the Babylonian kingdom will last forever. The Babylonian kingdom will never be destroyed. It will never be conquered. It will last through the ages. And he demanded that the people worship that concept. Now, it is interesting that God used a second dream to show him that God gives the kingdoms of man into the hands of whomever he wills. You think that you're going to stand forever? No, God rules. And God sets over the kingdoms of man those whom he will. That was the purpose of this second dream. It was as though he defied the interpretation of the first dream, saying, my kingdom will last forever. And God is giving him a second dream by which he's going to show to him that God is the one who rules over the kingdoms of the world and sets upon the thrones those whom he would. Verse 25, there he said, till you know, the last portion, till you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomsoever he will. And so Nebuchadnezzar was warned by God in this dream. Oh, I think of the faithfulness of God. The king was getting on dangerous ground. He was being lifted up in pride. That pride could destroy him. And so God, in his faithfulness, warns Nebuchadnezzar of this peril, this dangerous ground he was treading upon. And I think how faithful God is in warning us when we start getting into dangerous ground. There comes that still small voice that says, flee, this is not the place for you. Get out of this relationship, it can destroy you. Don't do that. It's wrong. That hesitation that you feel, that check in your spirit, as God gives you a warning of the peril that lies in the path that you are walking and seeks to cause you to turn aside from that path of destruction. The warning. Now, you can heed the warning of God. You can learn the lessons that God seeks to teach you the easy way, or you can learn them the hard way, but one way or the other, you're going to learn them. Now, not only did God warn him in the dream, but God sent Daniel to interpret the dream and then to counsel him with good, godly counsel. In verse 27, Daniel said, wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable. Listen to what I'm counseling you now. Break off your sins by righteousness and your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of your tranquility. Daniel said, the Lord is watching you. You're on dangerous ground. You're being lifted up in pride. And that will destroy you. So behave yourself. Be careful. God often uses the counsel of godly friends to turn us from our path of folly. God warns us that we're on slippery ground. God knew exactly what was going on in the king's life. You cannot hide from God. And so, Nebuchadnezzar behaved himself for about a year. Sort of cooled it. Walked carefully. But after about a year's time, he was walking through the palace grounds, looking at these glorious buildings, how that the river Euphrates was channeled with these walls on the sides, and the whole glory of the city, these hanging gardens, the beautiful flowers, the whole thing. And he said, is this not the great Babylon that I have built by my might and power for the honor of my majesty? Isn't this, you know, what I have done by my power and for my glory and majesty? And the watchers from heaven said, that's it. He didn't learn the easy way. Thought for 12 months he did, but I guess he'll have to learn the hard way. We are told that he went insane. That he began to live like an animal. That he went out and began to eat grass in the field. That he wouldn't come in at night, the dew of the heaven would fall upon him in the night hours, and that his hair became long and matted and shaggy, and that his nails began to grow like claws, his fingernails and his toenails. And for 7 years, you would look out into the field and you would see this wild creature, matted, shaggy hair, eating grass, bereft of his senses. And you'd think, could that possibly be Nebuchadnezzar, that brilliant, gifted general, administrator, builder? That man who wielded such power, he was learning an important lesson, but he was learning it the hard way. But we read in verse 33 that in the same hour that he boasted of his greatness and all, he was driven from men, did eat grass like the oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hair was grown like eagle's feathers or matted and filthy, and his nails like the bird's claws. And at the end of the days, that is the 7-year lesson, it was a long lesson, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned to me. I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever and ever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion. Not mine, his is. And his kingdom is from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of the earth are as nothing before him. For he does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what are you doing? He recognized the sovereignty of God. He learned the lesson of the sovereignty of God. How that if you have anything worthwhile, it's because God has allowed it. You owe everything to God, your life, your breath, everything you owe to him. At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me. My counselors, my Lord, sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and the excellent majesty was added unto me. God restored to me that which I lost as the result of my folly. I learned my lesson. And having learned the lesson, it all came back, and God restored even a greater excellency. And now I, Nebuchadnezzar, the praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment. And here is the lesson. And those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. God can bring you down from the highest perch. An important lesson. He had the chance to learn it the easy way. God warned him. His godly counsel of Daniel directed him, but yet he was unwilling to learn it the easy way, but it was important that he learn it, and so God taught him that lesson, though it was a hard lesson to learn. Now, the Bible is our guidebook for life. It's filled with important lessons that we need to learn to live happy, successful, prosperous lives. And God loves you, and he wants you to have a happy, successful life, and he's determined that you're going to learn these lessons that will lead you into the good life one way or the other you're going to learn. Throughout the Bible, we see illustrations of men who have learned the lessons, some of them the easy way and some of them the hard way. Jonah needed to learn the lesson that you can't really run from the call of God, that you can't really hide from God or escape the presence of God. He learned his lesson the hard way. David seemed to learn the lesson that you are not to touch God's anointed or do his prophet no harm, and he seemed to learn that the easy way. When Saul was trying to destroy David, and he was, in a sense, delivered into David's hand, and David's warrior said, let me strike him through with the javelin. I won't have to do it twice. David said, no. He said, you don't touch that man. He was anointed of God, and you're not to touch God's anointed. You're not to do his prophets any harm. And David learned that lesson, and he learned it the easy way. He didn't have to learn it the hard way. He let God take care of Saul. But we do read in 2 Kings chapter 2 about 42 young men who learned that lesson the hard way. Same lesson. Touch not mine anointed, do my prophets no harm. And as Elisha was leaving the city, these 42 young kids came out and they began to yell at him and say, get out of here, you old bald head. and taunting him, and he turned around and rebuked them in the name of God, and two she-bears came out and really ripped those guys up, tore them up pretty good. They learned a lesson the hard way. God takes care of his bald-headed prophets. Comforts me. Peter learned the lesson not to boast in and of himself, but he learned it the hard way. Jesus said, all of you are going to be offended tonight because of me. Peter said, they may be, I'll never be offended. Jesus said, before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times. No, they would kill me. But he learned the hard way. It was a bitter lesson for him. When he failed so miserably, it says he went out and he wept bitterly. It was a hard lesson to learn. He could have learned it the easy way. He could have said, well, Lord, you know, forgive us. Oh, we're so weak. And yes, we don't have any strength in ourselves. But he had to learn it the hard way. Now, it is interesting that in the book of Jeremiah, God calls Nebuchadnezzar his servant. And if you are a servant of God, God is not going to let you get by in doing wrong things. Things that can destroy you. God won't let you get by with it. Now, others may do those things and get by with it, and that's where you get tripped up. You say, well, they did it. They didn't, you know, nothing happened to them. They got by with it. And so you begin to feel a little bit of daring because others have done it. They got by with it. And you think, well, I can do it. No, you can't. You see, you're a servant of God. You're a child of God. He won't let you get by with it. If you're not a child of God, you can probably get by with it, but you see, you're just being destroyed anyhow. And so the sinner can get by with a lot of stuff you can't get by with. And if you can sin and get by with it, then you better take stock of yourself because it means that you probably are not a child of God. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourges every son whom he receives. And if you are really a child of God, he's going to teach you those lessons that are important for your preservation, to keep you from destroying yourself. He's going to teach you. And you can learn the easy way or you can learn the hard way. If you're not a child of God, you will ultimately learn the lessons the very hard way. As you experience that punishment that God has promised to those who defied him and his laws. And you will learn in hell, where there is no possibility for recovery, how wrong you were in rejecting the love of God and the forgiveness of your sins that he offered to you through Jesus Christ. There is only one way by which you can be forgiven your sins. Only one way by which you can be cleansed and pardoned of your sins. And that is through the blood of Jesus Christ. There is no other way. And that is a vitally important truth that you must learn. And that you will acknowledge one day or another, one way or another. But I always counsel people, learn the easy way. Why make it hard on yourself? Jonah, when he learned his lesson, he also counseled. He said, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercies. In other words, if you are believing a lie, if you're being deceived by Satan, if you're being caught up in a false premise, then you are just making it hard on yourself. You're forsaking your own mercies. You're making it hard on yourself. And so from Jonah comes really the encouragement to learn the easy way. If God has said it, you can count on it. It's true. Take the scriptures, learn the lessons. Obey the commandments. Meditate in the law of the Lord day and night, and your life will be rich, it'll be full, it'll be blessed. Defy the laws of God, but you'll learn. God does rule, and his laws cannot be broken without pain and suffering. Hurt, anguish. Make it easy on yourself. Live by his word. Father, we thank you for the lessons that you have taught us through the word. And we thank you, Lord, for those men that you have sent to give us godly counsel, warnings. Lord, keep us from folly. Keep us from the path of destruction. And Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness, that because you love us, you will chastise us, if necessary, to teach us the truth. But Lord, we pray that you'll give us willing hearts and ready hearts to believe and to respond to your truth, that we might walk, Lord, in fellowship, the joy, the glory, the blessedness of that fellowship with you. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand? I'm certain that all of us can say, well, yes, I've learned a few lessons the hard way. And you have to acknowledge that God was faithful. He warned you before you got yourself in that pit. There was that voice of God that was speaking to your heart, but you ignored it and you continued that path until you got yourself in a jam, and oh, the pain and the misery. I think of that song, oh, what needless pain we bear. Because we don't listen, we don't obey. We think that somehow we can evade the consequences of our actions, but the Lord loves us too much to let us get by with those things that will destroy. And maybe you are in a position that Nebuchadnezzar was in his madness, even this day. Maybe you are suffering now because of some folly. And maybe even this day, The Lord has been speaking to your heart, pointing you back to the right path, saying, forsake that way. It will only get worse. It will only destroy you. And I would encourage you to listen to the voice of God, to hearken to the commandments of God, and to walk in the path that God has set forth of righteousness and truth and holiness. May He return your sanity to you and realize what you've done to yourself and what you're doing to yourself because of your folly. And when you do, even as with Nebuchadnezzar, He'll restore. God loves you. He doesn't teach you these lessons to destroy you. He teaches these lessons to preserve you, to keep you from destroying yourself. May the Lord be with you, and may He continue to instruct you, and may you continue to learn one way or the other. In Jesus' name.